Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, where we take the bread of a guest, pop it into the toaster of chat, and grill them until they are charred beyond belief. Hello, James.
The bread of a guest.
The bread of the guest.
Well done, Ed. By the bread of the guest, do you mean the guest is the bread, or yes, you're getting the bread that belongs to a guest?
No. On the Off-Menu podcast, we don't get the guest to send us some bread, and then we toast it.
Uh-huh.
That's our other podcast, the Roasty Toasty Boys.
Yeah, Roasty Toasty Boys. Subscribe.
On Off-Menu, the guest is a metaphorical slice of bread.
Yes.
We're popping them into the toaster of chat, which is, again, metaphorical. And we're grilling them, which is another name for asking questions, until they're charred beyond belief, which is just done.
Until they're useless.
Yeah, useless.
None of a podcast can have them.
I have to scrape off their bodies into the bin.
Yeah.
And even then, you can tell. You can tell it's been
burned. Tell they've been charred beyond belief on the Off-Menu podcast.
Yeah.
But don't forget to subscribe to Roasty Toasty Boys.
The Roasty Toasty Boys.
New episodes coming out every Monday. Well, we ask the guests, are you roasty or are you toasty?
They send their bread and we send back toast.
Yeah, we just send toast back to them. And they have to guess if we've roasted the toast or toasted the toast.
Or toasted the roast.
Yeah, they send us the bread and we either roast it or we toast it. And we send it back to them and they're going to make the call.
Sorry, I was getting mixed up with our other podcast, the Toasty Roasty Boys, where they send us some meat and vegetables of their choice. Yeah. And we try and cook them in a toaster.
We try and make a roast dinner in a toaster.
Yeah.
That's every Sunday.
Of course.
It's the Toasty Roasty Boys. And make sure you subscribe to that. We've got loads of great guests on that. We've got Nish Kumar, obviously.
He does all the food podcasts. Yeah.
He'll be booking for everything.
Yeah, Rafe Spall.
Rafe Spall's on it. Munya Chihuahua. Victoria Coren Mitchell refused.
Yes.
Wouldn't
she
do
would
it.
Not be on it, even though I've heard she takes her own toaster to dinner parties and toasts things in the toilet. Anyway, that's not what this podcast is, so this is pointless.
This podcast isn't that. This is the Off-Menu podcast. We invite a guest into the dream restaurant, and we ask them their dream, their favourite ever, starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week's guest is...
Simon Amstel. Yes, it's Simon Amstel, comedian, writer, film director. He's a man of many talents, James.
So many talents, and a great TV host.
Wow. The problem is, it doesn't come up a lot, but whenever James has to say TV host, he sneezes.
Oof.
So don't say that again, man.
Oh.
You all right?
Oh, some snot on my trousers.
Right. Simon Amstell is going on tour. He's doing a show called Spirit Hole. You should go and check that out on his website. And we'll talk about some of the other things he's done during this interview, I'm sure. But very much looking forward to talking to Simon. However, if he says a secret ingredient that we have pre-agreed on, he will be kicked out of the Dream Restaurant, Spirit Hole or no Spirit Hole, James.
That is true. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Cress!
Cress!
Can't believe we've not had it before.
It's awful.
Pointless.
I don't like it. I think it looks bad on the plate. Makes everything look bad. It looks like someone's just emptied some grass clippings or something onto the...
It's too small. I mean, that might be one of my main issues with it. It's too small.
Yeah, too small. Doesn't really taste of much.
No.
Ugh. I mean, I can't even think of anything. I just think it gets put on anything as a garnish.
Yeah.
Like it's meant to make things look better. And it makes things look worse, as we've already established. Yeah. And cress doesn't go with everything, you know.
No. Doesn't go with anything.
Just because it's flavourless.
Egg and cress. Like, who would have thought cress could stand up to the punch of an egg? It can't.
Yeah, can't. There's no point it being in there. It doesn't even add any texture. Visually, maybe you got a bit of chopped up cress in the you get a bit of green in there, but I'd rather put some chives in that.
Yeah, get out. Not having the cress, thank you. So if Simon says cress, he's a goner.
He's a goner.
And of course, cress is a secret ingredient because we talked about it on the Emily Atack episode, James, and we realised we'd never done cress.
Sometimes we get ideas for secret ingredients from the chats we have with other guests. We carry it through to other episodes. And, you know, Benito has just said to us, off record, I mean, I'm sure he won't keep himself in the edit, but that Egg and Cress would be a good nickname for the two of us. And yeah, I don't appreciate that.
I think Egg is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there.
What, so he's calling you Egg?
Yeah, Egg. Egg Gamble.
Egg Gamble?
Yeah, because if you say Ed Gamble quickly, it sounds like Egg Gamble.
And what, who am I? James A. Crester?
That's great! Egg Gamble and James A. Crester. Oh, someone will do a great little mock-up of that, won't they?
Yeah, you'd imagine. Will I have Cress coming out my head like a Cress head?
Yes, and I'll just be an egg.
You'll just have an egg as your egg face. Head.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Egg Gamble and James A. Crester.
Oh.
It's so good.
Oh, dear.
Oh, and James, I'm on tour soon.
What?
I'm going on tour in February 2022 with my show Electric.
Oh, will I ever see you again?
Yeah, man, but probably just over the internet. We'll never see each other in real life again because I'm going to be on the road, baby. I'm a road dog.
Oh, man, I envy all the people getting tickets to that. It's going to be such a great show. If I was listening to this podcast now, I'd pause it immediately. I'd go to edgamble.com and I would order tickets.
Whoa. Don't go there. It's as much as I value your support and respect.
Yes.
My website is edgamble.co.uk, so go and get tickets from there.
Couldn't get .com?
Go and get tickets for my tour. Electric, edgamble.co.uk. Very key, that.
Who got edgamble.com?
I don't know. But let's stop saying that.
It's interesting.
Let's stop saying that, and we'll just keep saying edgamble.co.uk for tickets for Electric. February 2022, baby.
Also go to edgamble.com
and find out
who that is and what that website is, because we need to know. We've got to crack the case.
Never say crack the case when Egg Gamble's involved.
Oh, yeah. Egg Gamble, crack the cress.
Anyway, enough of all of this. Let's hear the off-menu menu of Simon Amstell.
Simon Amstell.
Welcome, Simon Amstell, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Simon Amstell, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Wow, what an entrance. We've not recorded one for a while, Simon, so James has clearly kept his genie powers really bottled up, ready to explode there. And you really went for it, James. Well done, you.
Thank you. Yep, I really felt it bursting forth as soon as I did that one. Mm-hmm. The other day, actually, I'll tell you what it reminded me of. My mum has started making kombucha at home, and she gave me a bottle of the orange and cardamom one that she made, and I drank most of it ages ago. And there's just a little tiny bit left in the bottom of the bottle, and it's one of those ones with a plug stopper on the top. And yesterday, I was like, oh, I better obviously just, have the last of this. And I unpopped it. And my God, I thought it was going to take my head off. There's so much pressure in there, whatever's been building up. And it was like a gun going off. And I was like, holy shit. And that's what I felt like just then, bursting out the lamp. I felt like the kombucha that had been extra whatever fermenting. Is that what it, would it be fermenting a bit longer? I don't know. Yeah. But that's what I felt like just then. That the plug came off the lamp and I was bursting forth and nearly took Simon Amstel's head off.
But it was very enjoyable. I liked it very much.
That's the longest story about kombucha James has ever done before we've really said hello to a guest properly, I think.
Well, I'm happy to just be here. So don't worry about me.
Do you have any stories about kombucha, Simon? And before you even think about if you've got a story about kombucha, do you think it's longer or shorter than the one I just told?
I think it's a bit shorter in that my boyfriend and I do make kombucha, but that's the story.
I think that is a story, because that's quite a coincidence that James's mum has been making kombucha, you and your boyfriend have been making kombucha. I think I don't know anyone else who's making kombucha. This is all new to me.
Have you got a specialty? What's your go-to flavour that you've really nailed the most?
We just keep it very pure, actually. We don't really do anything to it. I like it pure. I told you, this is not much of a story, my kombucha story.
No, we're gonna make it a story. We're doing an hour on your kombucha, Simon. That's what's happening.
Yes.
Did you see James's face when you said you keep it pure and you don't add anything to it and you don't flavour it?
I actually didn't. What did he do it again, James?
He was gobsmacked.
Oh. Well, it's... That's a good face. Well, it's just... I think we're maybe not that advanced. We haven't really got into flavouring it, but I really like it as it is. What's your mum doing? What's she putting in it?
Orange and cardamom. She made another one that was like lemon and ginger. I haven't tried that one yet. I just tried the orange and cardamom one. It was a very nice surprise. What does it taste like pure, though? I've never had it pure.
I don't know. I mean, I have nothing to compare it to. But maybe I could talk to your mother. Could I have your mother's number, if that's not a strange request?
You're not the first guest to ask for it.
I'm just going to warn you, Simon, if you do, I did a cook-along with James's mum, and if you've bought one of the ingredients slightly wrong, she will absolutely, like, bawl you out for a half an hour. She will shout at you, she'll tell you you've got it wrong.
Well, I can see where James's trauma/talent comes from there.
Yeah, she's like Mrs. Trunchbull.
She's very beautiful. What did you say?
No, I said she's like Mrs. Trunchbull.
Oh, I see. And is she also very beautiful?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, beautiful Mrs. Trunchbull, that's my mum. And she put Ed in the chokey for bringing the wrong ingredients. Yeah.
This is not... Have you been friends for a long time? This is a sort of... I'm picturing you as sort of like sort of 10-year-old going over to James's mum's house. Or James's house, I guess it would be, because you still live there. What's your relationship? What's going on here? What's happened? How's this podcast happened? I need to know some things, I think.
We've known each other for many years, Simon, and we always talk about food, and we thought that conversation is so good, the public should be hearing it.
We were having chats in private and going, man, I would love, if I was a member of the public, to be able to listen to this for free.
It's such a waste if you have a good conversation in private, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like if I'm having a nice time with my girlfriend as well, I'm like, what's the point in that? Take a picture of it, put it on Instagram so everyone can see it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's always Pornhub.
Pornhub.
Yes, put the photo on Pornhub.
Yeah, just a picture of us enjoying a nice meal. Pop that on Pornhub.
Simon, if you were on Pornhub.
Oh, yes. And I should be, really. Look at me.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, using the service, but maybe... I mean, if you were like...
Oh, my God. There's my ego exposed. Yeah. I should be on Pornhub. Not watching it. Like some viewer.
But if you were browsing it, and one of the thumbnails was some photos of Ed and his girlfriend just doing normal things, fully clothed, and nothing sexual, but it was on there, would you take the time to watch it?
It's unlikely, but it would be nice to know that it was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's nice to know that there's hummus in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need it that day, but it's there, just in case.
Just in case, yeah, just in case. Do you think on Pornhub, if you know how on like YouTube, if there's anything explicit, it gets taken down? Do you think it works the other way around on Pornhub?
Yeah, I think it should do, yeah. Warning.
No nipples.
These people have just sat down eating pizza.
Now, Simon, you are about to go on tour with your new show, Spirit Hole.
Yes, I'm doing that from September. Would you like to come, Ed and James?
I'd love to come, love for to sure. Come.
There are two, I guess you're both in London, right? There's two London dates. Yeah. There's two nights at the Ali Pali and there's the London Palladium. then I'm going all over the country.
Are you excited about it, Simon?
Yes, I'm very excited. I think I'm probably more excited than I've ever been about touring. And I've been doing a few festivals and a few warm-ups, and it just feels really exciting to be able to do it, right? I mean, you must feel the same. I mean, it's how did it feel for you when you couldn't do it?
Well, I am very much like you, Simon, and I was excited to get back to stand-up, and I am enjoying gigs. Now I can do them again, and I'm going on tour next year. I'm very excited about it. James?
I'm enjoying the break.
Such a polite podcast. This is so sweet. James?
Still on sparkling water, Simon?
Still, please.
You're drinking still right now. You took a little sip.
I actually am. It's actually from a filtered tap. But if you have a fancy bottle, I'd take that as well. Although ideally not plastic.
I'm noticing a theme. Pure kombucha. Pure water.
Have you seen my skin?
Yeah. How much water do you drink a day?
Oh, as much as possible. I can't get enough of it. Yeah. If ever I'm wondering what to do with myself, I think I'll have some water. And then I feel much, much better.
But you filter it.
We've got a tap that's a filtered tap in this kitchen. Wow. We've got, yeah.
And is that something that was in the kitchen when you arrived? Or was it the first thing you did when you moved in? You were like, get that goddamn filtered tap in there. I'm not drinking the muck straight from the tap.
It was an option in the kitchen shop, and we went for it. I don't know if I was adamant about it, but when they presented the option, I thought, oh yeah, that's a nice idea. I'm into anything that's, like, I'm not a celiac, but if something is gluten-free, I'll go for that option instead.
Oh, really? Even if it's the worst taste-wise? So you would go for gluten-free bread or like a gluten-free pizza just because it's gluten-free, even though that impacts the taste?
Well, I have some pretty good gluten-free stuff. And yes, I think so. I sort of feel like, well, if something is advertised as gluten-free, it must be better. It must be better. Not taste-wise necessarily, but once it says gluten-free, like if something said bread-free, I'd be like, well, I'd better not have any bread then. I'm not the same with everything. I think I'm actually making some stuff up here, to be honest. I think I'm just lying now.
It's good to know that if we ask you a question, then let you just keep talking, you will just start to lie. Yeah.
I think I got a bit too into the frivolity of this podcast there and just thought I should provide something about gluten. I thought that's what they need. They probably need some gluten stuff. And I actually would just, I don't know, I left my own body for a moment. Yeah, I'm going to try and retain my integrity now.
Okay, yeah, podcast. Good. Good to know. Moving forward, everything will be the truth from Simon.
As always. That's my As thing. Always. Please come to my show. If you like the truth, come see Spirit Hole.
What's the best conversation you've ever had during the water course?
I feel like the water course is part of this podcast, but maybe not part of my life.
Yeah, we've definitely put too much focus on the water course on this podcast.
Yeah, but I can't really remember exact conversations I've had whilst drinking water, but I'm drinking water now, and this is going quite well, isn't it?
Normally, I guess, water course is like, you've all just arrived at the restaurant, so what are the classics? How you got there, what the traffic was like, how you've been generally. Small talk, isn't it, water course?
Boring.
Yeah.
The boring stuff.
Yeah.
It's boring,
Well, I'm not... Yeah, small talk. Who has time for small talk? We're all going to die.
I love a bit of small talk.
But are you aware of your own death, Ed?
No, because I do too much small talk. So I really put that out of my mind by doing some small talk. I don't want to think about death while I'm having my water.
You should, because it's coming. And, you know, you would spend the time more wisely, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true. But then what would I do? If I'm having the water course and I suddenly realise I'm going to die, surely I'm just chucking the water on the floor and running out of the restaurant.
Well, it's not that you're going to die immediately. It's just that death is coming. It's coming. Yeah. And so, you know, what do we think? We're all going to be on... I mean, this isn't a good joke for this moment, maybe, but do we think we're all going to be on our deathbeds thinking, oh, no, I wish I'd listened to one more podcast?
What do you think you will regret on your deathbed?
I feel like maybe I'll regret not giving everything I could have in some way. I want to feel, like, used up by the end of it. That's something Oprah says sometimes. She wants to be, like... done, like she did everything that could be done with this particular incarnation of her being, you know? I don't know if that's the correct phrasing that I've used there, but she's saying, I just want to be used up.
You want to feel like a husk wow. on your deathbed.
Yeah, like, you know, you don't want to, the regret is, oh, I could have done ... But you want to feel like, I couldn't have given any more. The way you feel at the end of a show, maybe, where you're like, you've left it all on the stage. You're having to lie down at the end of the gig because it was, it all just is on the stage now. It's all there. You couldn't have given them one more laugh, that audience. I think that's how I want to feel at the end of my life. I couldn't have, like, been any more generous or delightful than I was.
That's a wonderful ambition, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll get there, but it's nice to think about, isn't it? And also that I didn't, like, hold back on anything because of embarrassment or shame. I want to feel like I've extracted all the shame out of myself so I can be in a moment with another person without feeling like I have to be someone different so that they'll like me. I want to just be there, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good start. I pretend to be a genie a lot of the time, especially on this podcast.
Hopefully only on this podcast, James.
You can't control when I pretend to be a genie or not. And I said pretend there, but the listeners know. Yeah. I'm a real genie.
Yeah, we all heard the sound effect.
Yeah. We all heard it. Poppadoms or bread?
Oh.
Poppadoms or bread, Simon Amstel? Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms.
Yeah.
There was a thought process there. Sometimes people are straight in with bread or poppadoms, and you looked around and you sort of, you almost like they were in front of you, the options, and you looked at both of them and you reached for poppadoms. What happened in that moment, Simon?
I think I was thinking about my first course that's coming up.
Mm.
And what I'm going to get from that first course, there's going to be a crunchy element. I don't know if I even want the poppadoms, actually. I think, also, I don't really eat much bread. So I feel like I don't want either of these, to be honest, with this meal. Mm-hmm. But generally, is this offensive?
No, but this is, you know, it's rare. It's rare that anyone passes on anything. And I feel like we're approaching a pass on the poppadoms or bread course.
If it wasn't for this starter that's coming up. Hang on, why is this being offered? There's so many courses. There's too many things.
Well, you know, usually they bring along a little bread basket, don't they, pre-meal? Sometimes if you're in a curry house, they bring along a load of poppadoms beforehand.
And also, Simon, I want to get to the end of this podcast feeling like I've offered everything I can on this podcast, you know?
That's nice.
I want to leave it all out there. So to not offer poppadoms or bread or anything else that might be brought at this time, if you want to hack the course and pick prawn crackers or something else, that you're very welcome to do that. Or indeed pass. This is your dream meal, Simon Amstel.
Let's pass. But I'd say, okay, I'll have the poppadoms, but I might take them home.
It's the earliest the doggy bag has been employed on the off-menu podcast.
No, I think I'm sticking with that.
I imagine you often take food home, so I'd imagine you don't like waste, Simon Amstel. Is that correct?
The second bit's correct. But sometimes food is taken home. But I think the key thing is not over-ordering.
But here's a difficult conundrum for you, right? You want to give all that you can in life and put it all out there, but you don't want to over-order.
Right.
What I'm saying is, do you find it quite hard to find the right balance in life, Simon? And to, like, try and go all in, but not too much.
I think I'm talking about giving rather than receiving there. Maybe I would cook too much.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I would order too much.
Yeah, there's not going to be a moment where you're on your deathbed and you thought, oh, I really should have ordered an extra dish in that restaurant that time.
No, that's not going to be. That's not going to be the same.
I think I'll think that.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely me too.
I will think, why didn't I just eat ice cream every day? Why did I care? And now I'm going to die and I'll never get to have ice cream ever again. I'm going to be dead forever. So in those precious moments when I was alive, I should have had ice cream every single day.
You would have died earlier.
Yeah, but still.
And your quality of life would not have been as good. You would have felt sick all the time. Your girlfriend would have left you, you know?
So in this, hang on, I've got to work out how Simon's envisaged this life here. So James is eating so much ice cream that his girlfriend's left him.
Yeah.
What's happened? Why has it become such a hurdle in his life? At what point has his girlfriend gone, I've got to go, this ice cream thing's out of control?
Well, he's developed illnesses related to the overeating.
Yeah.
And she said, look, you either need to stop eating, maybe you can see a therapist, maybe this is an emotional issue you need to deal with that's leading to filling a hole within that can't be filled, and you're saying, I just want to eat ice cream all the time, I don't want to look within, And she's saying, well, look, you're responsible for your own healing. I have to find somebody who can take care of themselves because I'm not a doctor. I want to be a lover.
Wow. Do you know what? I thought it was quite a shallow reason for her to leave me. And then you did the speech and I thought, well, I'm on her side.
Yeah.
And she's giving very mature reasons.
You can have some ice cream,
yeah.
You know. And also There's some really good vegan sugar-free ice creams available. And you can you can choose your ice cream wisely.
Yeah.
Have a great time.
Yeah.
As a concession to her, right? If she says, I think this ice cream's a problem, I think if you could still have ice cream every day, maybe, but maybe cut down to those little pots that you buy in a theatre.
Maybe. It'd be quite a difficult one. Have you got any vegan ice creams you'd like to recommend?
Everyone's doing them now. When I was on the west coast of America a few years ago, Ben and Jerry started doing them. And that was a thrilling moment. Mm. And my boyfriend and I were there also smoking legal marijuana for the first time together and having some legal marijuana and then vegan Ben and Jerry's ice cream. That is a nice experience.
You are a drugsman, famously. You love drugs. Are we gonna see some drugs on the menu today? Because we've had that in the past.
I feel, apart from that occasion that I'm talking about, I feel often, well, magic mushrooms particularly, are best done on an empty stomach and ceremonially in a ritualistic way. So it's best to have not eaten much at all if you're going to embark on a mushroom journey. I think I'm just eating on this occasion. Yeah.
If this podcast was not the dream menu for food, but the dream menu for drugs, what would your dream drug menu be if we go and start a main course dessert?
I mean, I'm not really a drugsman, Simon, but as far as I know, you shouldn't really have loads of different drugs and break them up into a course format.
Yeah, I haven't heard from any shamans that that's the way to go. Also, so I consider them to be medicines. I'm doing them in a healing manner. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like not... For me, it's... we could do it this way. Bearing in mind, I'm not a shaman. I'm just an idiot. Uh-huh. What are your problems? And we'll see if we can find the right medicine for you.
Okay. I worry too much and everyone annoys me.
Is there a drug for that?
You have anxiety and you're judgmental.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so some magic mushrooms would be good for that.
Lovely.
Or MDMA.
Oh, really?
You would drop into a comfort with intimacy and an empathy would develop to eradicate all that judgment that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And you would be there with the other person who was ideally also part of the MDMA session. And you just feel deep love and compassion for them. There you go.
I'm lazy and I'm greedy and I stink.
Okay, so you hate yourself. All right, let's see. Lazy, greedy, stink. Sounds like you have depression, Ed.
So what drugs can I take?
I think, yes, some magic mushrooms would be great for that as well, of course. Or if it's calling to you, then Mother Ayahuasca of the rainforest. If you want something really dramatic, or if you feel the need for something incredibly life changing,
Ayahuasca is the one. Do you need to go? Is you need to go to Peru to do that one? Is that right?
Yeah. And they say that she calls to you.
Right.
So I kept hearing this. This is like 11 years ago when I went for the first time. You keep hearing this word. My friend was talking about it out of nowhere, and then I heard it somewhere else. And then when I got there, the shaman said, she has called you all here. You will have received messages. And my boyfriend was more cynical. He kept saying, I keep hearing the word skiing. When are we doing that?
Also, I'd imagine... I think it sounds lovely, but I would imagine that everyone who is there because they've heard about it and decided to go there. No one stumbled into it and sat down and gone, I wasn't called here, I just sat down. I didn't even know what this was.
That's true. Maybe it works the same way advertising or marketing works, is that you sort of need to hear about something three times.
Yes.
And then you buy a ticket. But yes. I should say that, like, all these things that we're talking about should be done very carefully. They're very powerful things, and they're not for everyone, blah, 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 blah. And also, a lot of them are totally illegal.
Yes.
Good luck, everybody.
We move on to your starter.
Okay, so there used to be a restaurant up until recently called Manor in Primrose Hill that served to share nachos especial, which is nachos. And they were really just lovely. And we could all share them together. They had black beans on them. They had some kind of nut cheese. Maybe it was a cashew cheese. And various other things sprinkled on top of these nachos. And you know, you know how you eat nachos. It's like a delicious, fun, communal thing. You pick them up with your fingers and you shove them in your mouth. And then somebody else has some. And then they're finished.
You strike me as someone who wouldn't be competitive or territorial when it comes to the nachos. You'd be quite philosophical about it all.
Yeah, the nachos I'm enjoying sharing. Dessert, less so.
So, with the nachos, are you deliberately leaving some of the fully loaded ones so everyone can get involved on that? Or are you going straight for what you consider to be the best nacho?
I think I am going for the best one.
You're going for the best nacho, aren't you?
What's the dream nacho for you?
Oh, it's just got it all on it, I suppose. It's got all the stuff I was talking about there, and like a lot of the nut cheese.
Look, I love that there's vegan cheeses out there available. I feel like at some point we're going to have to come up with a better name for it than nut cheese. Because it's not selling the nachos especial. Every time you say nut cheese, I move further and further away from wanting them.
I mean, I think if I was amongst fellow plant-based people rather than you psychopaths,
yes.
I would just call it cheese.
Yes, of course.
You're like people who think it's normal to like go up to a cow, steal its baby, chuck that in the bin, and then suck its tits.
Yeah.
That's what you're into.
Yes.
And you can't hear the word nut cheese.
No, that puts me off. It's disgusting.
Yeah, horrible.
I want some cow titty cheese.
We're all different.
Well, I watched your wonderful show, Simon. It was a few years ago now. Was it Carnage? Is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah, Carnage. Yeah, it's still on iPlayer, I think. I think it's going to be on iPlayer until everybody is vegan.
Yeah, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And I watched it, and it really moved me, and I thought it was a brilliant idea and well executed. And I was like, yeah, I agree with every point in that. Anyway, let's crack on with the meat now, shall we?
How did you do that?
I have absolutely no idea, but...
I've made it so funny. I made it so emotive. I don't know how you did that, Ed. I don't know what more I could have done.
You heard from Ed earlier, Ed's little description of his problems, that he clearly hates himself with a passion. So you've at least achieved that. Before he watched Carnage, he quite liked himself, loved eating meat. And now you've at least made him completely... detest himself for being a meat eater.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the first step.
Yeah. Now, we've had a comedian on the podcast before called Joel Dommett, and he came on the podcast, and he chose nachos as his starter. And his reason for having nachos as his starter was because you never know how much you're going to get when you order nachos, as in you never know how big the portion is going to be. And that was his sole reason for it. And he got a lot of hate on the internet for that being... a reason.
Well, he just likes surprises, or what does he mean by it?
Yeah, he likes that you order nachos and you never know really how big the portion of nachos will be until it arrives on the table. And that was his reason for ordering it.
I can see why the hate arrived. But yes. I'm now concerned. I didn't know that this was going, that there was a possibility of hate as a result of this podcast.
Oh, you will never hear the end of this podcast. I'm afraid.
I think everything so far has been pretty solid choices. The nachos sound very nice. My only issues with nachos, Simon, is that all the good stuff's on the top. And then quite often you've got three or four layers of dry tortilla crisps underneath. So are these nachos, are they layered up? Or are you just hoovering off the top layer and sending the dry crisps back?
I guess the reason I'm mentioning the nachos from Manor is that they did them so well. There were none of these problems. And it's sad to me that the restaurant is no longer there, because I've tried to recreate these nachos in my own kitchen and it hasn't gone as well.
I used to love making nachos at the Star Inn in Geddington when I worked in the kitchen there, and we would layer them up. Mm. So, you know, one layer of chips and then chili and cheese and then chips, chili, cheese, and just do that like about three or four times. And they were good. And the ones on the bottom were the best, because they were like really like you had to eat them with a fork or a spoon. You couldn't just pick them up because they were really limp, just like they'd been covered in chili. And you had to just eat them with a fork or a spoon at the end. But they were the best ones.
The limp nachos.
Yeah, the limp nachos. I think me and Simon both reacted to that in exactly the same way. You described them as the best nachos, and you had to eat them with a spoon because they'd gone all limp. Sounds horrible.
Like a bowl of Shreddies at the bottom. I loved it.
I want a crunch. I feel we may have gone on too long about nachos because some of this now feels a bit like commentary to some other event whilst we're waiting for some goal to happen or something. Is that accurate?
You're worrying about it too much, Simon. Trust me.
Okay.
Someone needs some magic mushrooms.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I want to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Is your main course to share, or is the main course just for Simon?
There's three options.
Okay.
One, Bristol.
Yeah, I've been to Bristol.
Yeah, but I mean, as part of the ruse, or the ruse isn't the right word. Is it a ruse? This podcast.
You would like us to go to Bristol?
Yeah, I'd like us to all go to Bristol if we can for the main course. But this is only option one. I would like us to go to Cafe Kino for the beetroot burger because it's very delicious. Uh-huh. But there's option two. Is can we go to LA? Can we go to LA?
Yes.
I'd
like to go to Cafe Gratitude, which is, I don't know if you've heard of it, but
We've been there.
You've been there.
Together.
Yes.
We've spoken about it on this
Guess podcast. Who we saw in Cafe Gratitude? You have three guesses. It's a celebrity.
All right, here we go.
I think we need to give you a clue that we're in Cafe Gratitude in LA.
Danny DeVito.
No, wait. Wait for the clue.
Okay, sorry.
It was the most vegan experience possible.
Was that the clue?
That's the clue to who it was.
Okay, well, Moby.
Yes.
Bang, got it in one.
It was Moby.
There we go.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, so you know about Cafe Gratitude. And you must have spoken about it then because it's such a funny, ridiculous place.
I think two people have selected something from Cafe Gratitude on their dream menus.
Aisling B definitely did.
All right, then. So let's go to my third option. And I think this is the one because it's the easiest because I can just stay at home for it. Uh-huh. It's pasta with grilled aubergine, spinach, pine nuts toasted, walnuts toasted, and pesto.
That sounds very nice.
And is this at home? Is this something that you make?
I'm just making that. And so that's no problem for anyone.
Talk us through it, because people are going to want to make this at home themselves.
Oh, okay.
If this is your dream meal and it's something you can just make at home, I reckon people would appreciate the Amstel pasta.
Well, I don't know if it's that complicated, but let's see if I can... I mean, I feel like as I explain it, people might just go, yeah, pasta. You're saying make pasta. But yeah, you get some pasta from a packet.
What kind of pasta?
Well, I think there's a brand called Garofalo. I think we have that. And so you put some of that in a boiling saucepan.
What shape is this pasta?
Fusilli. Uh-huh. So you put that in the boiling water for as long as it says on the packet. Yes. Or a minute less.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be my tip. A minute less.
Great tip.
And meanwhile, while that's going on, you want to get the pesto out of the fridge or cupboard, wherever it is.
Green pesto?
Sackler vegan green pesto.
Yeah.
And then delicious.
Oh, I love it.
And then after you've done that, you want to get out a frying pan and you want to toast some walnuts and pine nuts.
Yes.
And while they're going on, you might want to add some spinach into the boiling water. So that wilts nicely.
Into the boiling water with the pasta?
Yeah, straight in.
Wow.
See, this is the sort... I'm glad we asked you how to do it now, because that's the sort of tip that I would never have thought of.
Yeah.
Straight in.
And how much... Because, like, it's quite satisfying putting, like, loads of spinach in something and watching it shrink.
Yeah.
You get, like, a basketball's worth of spinach.
Well, so somewhere in between a tennis ball and a basketball, would that ball be?
A bowling ball?
Yeah,
a bowling ball of spinach. There we go. And then, I suppose you're just playing the waiting game. Uh-huh. And then when it's 1 minute less than it says on the packet, you get your colander out. And then, I mean, this is very, very obvious.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not obvious. You put spinach in the boiling water with the pasta. Are you joking? Okay.
All right, well, so you pour everything, the spinach and the pasta, into the colander, give that a shake, get rid of any excess water. Uh-huh. Oh, I haven't mentioned that I've grilled the aubergine
I was thinking. When's the aubergines coming into play?
Sorry. Before I even boiled the pasta, there were some aubergines chopped into nice circles, no more than like a centimetre thick, if that. Uh-huh. And they're spread out on the baking tray. A little bit of olive oil, a little bit of pepper. They go into the oven, and maybe grill if you haven't got much time, or oven if you have more time. Okay. And then hopefully the timing is good. And then so you've got your pasta, all the water's gone, and then you put the pasta back in the saucepan.
Oh.
You put the pesto in the saucepan. You put the pine nuts and the walnuts in the saucepan. You put the what did I make?
The aubergine.
You put the aubergine in the saucepan.
Yeah.
And then you mix it all together and you put it in a bowl or two or three or four, depending on how many people are there, and then you eat it.
I think that sounds great.
That sounds really
good. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
What they never say at the end of recipes in books is, and now you eat it.
Yeah. It's amazing how often I forget that bit. Prepare all that stuff and I look for the last bit and it doesn't tell me to eat it. Straight in the bin.
There you go. I feel exhausted now. I don't know how those chefs do it. It's amazing.
How often are you making the grilled aubergine pasta with pesto and walnuts and pine nuts?
It's once a week that happens.
I'm going to do it tonight.
Do it.
I've decided.
Wow, well, I've really started something here.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to the shop after this, get the ingredients. That's what I'm having for dinner.
Aww. James is on the lookout for a new pasta dish because him and his girlfriend got quite into making a different pasta dish. And I saw them the other day and I mentioned the pasta dish and they both looked really tired when it came up because they've clearly been eating it far too much.
We love it, but we are ashamed of how much we've been eating it all the time.
What is it? What's the
chorizo broccoli pasta? It's a really good way of using up all your broccoli stems. You chop up the broccoli stems and it gives it a real nice crunch. And it's got capers in it and garlic and chili and parmesan. And it's absolutely delicious. And if either of us haven't had a very nice day, the other one always goes, I'll make some chorizo broccoli pasta for you.
Aww.
And then we have that. And it is, like you say, very comforting But definitely, as soon as I heard there is another pasta dish that is comforting, I'm like, right, I'm going to learn that immediately.
I forgot to say, a drizzle of olive oil at the end and some black pepper. That's quite nice. Oh,
and is that before or after you eat it? Where does that step come?
That's just before. Just a moment before.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to get those the wrong way around.
I do want to know, because otherwise I feel like it's a bit of a cliffhanger, what you would have ordered from Cafe Gratitude.
I actually printed the menu earlier, just in case. Just in case we landed the Cafe Gratitude, because I hadn't been there for a long time.
You printed out your menu, or you printed out the Cafe Gratitude menu?
The Cafe Gratitude menu. Partly because I thought it would just make me laugh.
Yeah.
But all the dishes are called funny things like enchanting, magical, optimistic, open brackets, new, close brackets. And when you order in this restaurant, you have to say, I am, .. whatever you want. You have to say, I am community. And then when they come and bring the dish, they say, you are community. And so I don't know what I'd have. I think I'd have maybe the glorious sandwich or the humble entree. And then they have all these lovely sweet things like the joyful, the opulent. And then there's like... coffee is called the courageous.
I am courageous.
I didn't realise that. I said I am black coffee because I didn't realise there was a different thing. But I was wanting to get into it. And we've talked about this before, how you're so awkwardly British in that situation. Mm-hmm. So you have to do it with like a massive dollop of irony. Mm-hmm. You have to be like, oh, go on, I am courageous. Oh, what a lot of silly Americans you are. But you got quite into it, didn't you, James?
I went straight into it. I thought, may as well. Went in LA and I said, I am whatever, I am brave. And what I loved was when they do say it back, because then you say to them, I am brave, and they go, you are brave. I really enjoyed that. I was like, yes.
Did you have someone come over and say, as a suggestion during your meal today, we're asking people to talk about what they're grateful for today? Did that happen?
No. Oh, I wish it had. I mean, that was at the end of our trip. We'd been in New York for a week, LA for a week. We were about to go back. It was the last day. I think if they'd told us to talk to each other about what we're grateful for, that would have been... We hadn't fallen out the whole trip, but I think that would have been the conversation that made us fall out with each other.
Maybe they did come over and say, we're thinking you should discuss what you're grateful for, but we were probably just all on our phones.
Yeah, at that point.
What are we going to do about those phones?
I love them. Get bigger ones.
No, we've got to do... We're addicted. We're addicted.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be the mad thing, the deathbed thing.
Oh.
It's going to be so many of us are going to be there, and that regret of what you didn't do is going to be absolutely terrifying for some people, probably myself included. We just go, oh, what the fuck did I do? I just stared at my phone for so long. Especially our generation, where any generation who remembers what it was like beforehand, and so now we're more scared because like little kids seem a bit more chill about it because it's part of their life. But we are, because we're like, oh no, I remember what it felt like to actually think about stuff while I was waiting for things, and it wasn't that bad actually.
I think the only way out of it maybe is if I guess we have to keep the phones now, right? They're there. Mm-hmm. But maybe we could make it so the battery life is 3 minutes. And then to recharge, it takes a month.
Yeah.
That's the only way out of it. It would be annoying, but we'd be free.
So your side dish, is this something that would complement the comfort pasta?
I'm too full with the pasta. Like, what would I have as a side dish? I can't. I'm gonna have to pass on the side dish.
You're the least hungry man we've ever had on this podcast. You've already passed on the poppadoms.
Had a lot of falafel during the technical difficulties. I think. But generally, pasta is enough, isn't it? A side dish. I mean, it's not olive oil is not a side dish, but it is on the side. Can I have olive oil?
You would just like some olive oil as your side dish?
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
Any particular type of olive oil, Simon? Do you have a favourite olive oil?
I don't know. I suppose just the what we get a big tin from a local shop here. That's like an enormous tin, and then we decant that into a bottle with a nozzle thing. And I don't think nozzle's the right word, but you know what I mean.
A plug,
like a pourer.
Plug with a with a
pouring stem on it, yeah.
With a pouring stem and a kind of cork.
Yeah.
This is we still haven't got it right.
No.
A bung? What's it called?
I don't know. Anyway, so it'll be that oil from the shop that we get that oil from. Or whatever, any oil. I don't care. Just oil.
No, I like it. I like the I'm glad that we asked that because I didn't know that you would have such a I just get a bottle of olive oil and that's it and then that's on the side. But you have a tin and you put that in a jug and you put a cork stopper in the jug and then you pour it out special every time.
Yeah, special.
Yeah. I like that.
Are we talking extra virgin, virgin? I mean, you don't see anything other than that these days, do you?
I don't, not that I'm aware of. Yeah, just the extra virgin. I suppose organic, ideally.
It's just weird that I don't know why they need to specify extra virgin and virgin now, because you don't see, like...
Well, you'd be worried if you saw the packaging and it didn't say it. You'd be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Who's been fucking these olives?
Yeah.
Got this goddamn dirty promiscuous olive oil.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Olive oil takes me back to the start of the pandemic, actually.
Oh, yeah. Take us there, James.
Please. We've already been to Bristol, LA and Simon's house. Please, let's go to the start of the pandemic.
Well, my ears started acting up for no reason. I didn't know why. They were really blocked, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
Which has happened to you before, yes?
Yes, I've had problems with my ears before. Had to go to ER in LA with my ears. Was so painful.
He went to the set of ER, Simon. Can you imagine that? He just wandered onto the set.
Went in.
Wow, must have been so dramatic.
Yeah.
But do you swim a lot? Sometimes it can happen if you swim a lot. That your ears
never
get
swim.
Locked.
I hate swimming.
Oh, maybe you should swim more.
I really hate it. So that's not definitely not that.
I didn't know you hated swimming.
I hate it. I hate swimming.
What happened to you when you were a child in a swimming pool?
Good point.
Give him a mushroom, get him talking.
Yeah, here we go. Let's do the ceremony and I'll tell you all about it.
When you were a child, did you drown in a swimming pool?
Oh, that is it. I didn't try and drown myself once, but that's been well documented. I've talked about that before. Tried to drown myself because my dad didn't get me the Spice Girls debut album, Spice. I tried to drown myself in the shallow end of the swimming pool. But so maybe that's part of it. When the Kettering Leisure Village opened when I was a teenager, it was a big deal. We were very excited. The swimming pool had a wave machine, a jacuzzi and rapids. And I'd go there a lot. But, you know, being a teenager, so very body conscious, really aware that, like, my friend who would often go to the swimming pool, he was, like, already a full man. He had just, you know, that just all happened for him. And I'd feel like a little boy and very just... Too body conscious, really. So I still feel like that when going to the swimming pool. Don't like it, hate it. So my ears are nothing to do with that. In LA, it was because I've been on a plane and then it messed my ears up. And then I went, but like they did say that they were too waxy. Start of lockdown, they were messing up again. And I was like, I don't want to go to the doctors because there's this pandemic and everything like that. I don't want to go there just for my ears being a bit blocked. So I looked online and it was all just like, pour olive oil in your ears. So I just did that all the time. I'd sit there or lay there on the bed on my side, just letting the olive oil just soak into my ears. And actually, that was very relaxing. Talking about having a break from your phone,
I just
lay there and I could hardly even hear. This is just that nice muffled, almost ASMR kind of noises in my ear. And I would just lay there and let the olive oil just soak up all the wax, or the wax would soak up the olive oil. And then...
Then you wash it out.
Yeah, and then you'd wash it out. I mean, that bit's gross.
Did it work? Does it work, though?
Yeah, it would work.
That's great. I think we might have put people off the pasta for tonight now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
How did you get the olive oil in there? Because it seems like, Simon, you've got the perfect setup for getting it into it.
Oh, yeah, I could come over and clean your ears out, no problem.
That pouring stem, or whatever it is.
That is true. I used a little, so I already had something else. So I used a little, one of those eyedropper kind of things, but I just used that in the olive oil.
Great. That's great.
This is such a great podcast for tips.
Yeah.
I think we haven't had an episode with so many tips in it before. We've talked about tips for doing drugs, tips for making pasta.
We've done tips for healing.
Tips for healing and taking medicine. Tips for making pasta, tips for unblocking your ears with olive oil. You haven't given any tips, Ed. A little bit selfish with your tips.
No, I've not given any tips. What would you like? So I can give a tip.
Is there any tips you would like from Ed, Simon? Anything that Ed can help you with? Any tips?
I wonder. Well, he seems to have won an award in his Zoom frame there. I wonder what he won that for.
Which one?
Or two. Hang on. There's one with a man's head. That's award, is it?
Greg Davis's head. That's the Taskmaster trophy.
Ah, congratulations. And Thank you. What's that trophy?
And that's Richard Osman's face. That's for Richard Osman's House of Games.
Yeah, that's cool.
You've really been putting yourself about there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I'll do anything.
And winning.
That's a skull, just because I like skulls.
That's good. That's to remind you of death.
Yes.
Yes.
And that the thing behind you, does that say wear a condom?
Yes.
Well, that's a great tip. There you go.
That's a good tip. Yeah, that is a good tip.
That's a Joe Lycett painting. And it's a picture of a baby in a glass bath, and it says wear a condom. He's a very talented boy.
There you go. I think we did it.
So your side dish is olive oil.
With a condom.
Would you like the olive oil in a condom, Simon?
Yeah.
Actually, you mustn't put olive oil anywhere near a condom because it makes it ineffective.
Oh!
Is that true? Another tip!
Okay. Going to have to know why you know that.
Well, because I have sex.
Yes, but... Oh, yeah. But
that's a absolutely known thing, isn't it? You must use a water-based lubricant. An oil-based lubricant would damage the condom.
Oh.
Top tip. Top tip, listeners.
Yeah, that is a
top tip.
Enjoy your pasta. Enjoy your sex.
I think broadly the tip is never dip your dick in your side dish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's catchier.
But your dream drink, is it another glass of olive oil?
What about the water? I've had my dream drink.
Oh, no, I knew this was going to happen. Is this another pass?
It's another pass. What the hell?
I can't believe this.
Just some pasta for me, thank you. Goodbye.
Now, Simon, do you remember earlier we said, oh, don't worry, you won't get any hate? Now you've passed on three things. This is feeling like we're approaching...
I don't think anyone would dare hate on Simon Amstel. I think everyone loves you too much. However, you are... At the minute, I'm on the verge of starting up an Instagram account and absolutely destroying you.
I'm just trying to, you know, it's important to be able to say no. That's very important.
Yes.
And, but kombucha, if we're talking about a different drink to water, I would have some kombucha, no problem.
Your homemade one?
Yeah. Or your mother's one to spice things up?
My mother would love to make you some kombucha.
Okay, great. I'd like to receive it very much.
She would love it. She asked me to tell you, don't use it as a lubricant.
That does sound like her.
That's what she always says when she drops around her homemade kombucha.
So you're not a boozeman, Simon?
No, I haven't drunk anything since I was about 25. Mm-hmm. No, just the drugs.
Just the sweet drugs.
Yeah. Because anything healing, rather like alcohol is a depressant. So if you if you're prone to a bit of depression, you don't want a depressant going into your body. You want something that's an antidepressant, like magic mushrooms. Well, this is an alcohol culture. Terence McKenna talks about there are mushroomy cultures. Not that people are doing mushrooms all the time, but there's the possibility of them. And here, it's not like people are drinking all the time generally, but there's always the possibility of going to the pub and having a drink. And so it's like an entirely different situation here. Why have I said all of that? I can't remember where I was going. But basically, of course we are the way we are because this country is the way it is. I think you really have to go through something like growing up gay to go, hang on a minute, maybe the culture's wrong because otherwise I'm a pervert. So once you've done that, once you've sort of broken through that barrier, then you're looking at everything. Then you're thinking, well, hang on a minute, should I be doing this? Because if I'd have followed all the rules, I'd be married to a lady called Laura now and deeply miserable.
That is the rule. She has to be called Laura.
She must be called Laura.
The start of this year, I went the longest, I think I've gone in maybe 10 or so years, like without alcohol. I had 3 months of not drinking. And do you know what? It felt really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the mistake of telling a teetotal friend of mine that I had... Oh, it's 3 months and not drinking. It's pretty good. I feel pretty great. And then he was like, right, well, in that case, I'm going to send... Well, he didn't even run this by me, actually. He just did this without asking me. And he sent me 100 cans of alcohol-free beer. And I would drink them every now and again and have them in the fridge. And they were quite nice for alcohol-free beer, actually. But also during that time, I just, you know, gradually started drinking again every now and again anyway. I had the first 50 cans of alcohol-free beer over time. I had them as they were. When it got to, like, can 51, I thought, I can't have another 50 of these. So I've started adding whiskey to them, Simon. and I had a shot of whiskey, a can of Coast, and then a few drops of lime juice, squeeze a bit of lime juice over the top. And in bars, if you get like an alcoholic beer with a shot of whiskey in it, it's called a Boilermaker. So I call my cocktail the Boiler Faker, and it is actually delicious. And I think quite a good way for people to like have a Boilermaker without getting completely trashed, because it's not a pint of beer with a whiskey. It's alcohol-free beer with a whiskey.
It's another great tip.
I think it's pretty clever.
Yeah.
And it is the best invention. I think it's the best thing I've ever invented.
I guess it's not what Coast had in mind, but welcome.
Absolutely not what they had in mind.
Simon, if ever you were like, oh, you know, it's January or something and it's dry January and you don't want to do a magic mushroom, would you buy maybe a pack of like button mushrooms instead? Just for the feeling.
Good question, Ed. Well done.
Sure. I mean, I also have just the general mushroom in my life.
Yeah.
But dry January isn't for like people enjoying psychedelics. That's for people who are like drowning in alcohol, isn't it?
Yes. So let's go on to your dessert now. Now, I know that you're going to have a dessert because you mentioned during the starter, because let's face it, so far, you've had still water, you have passed on poppadoms or bread.
Taking the poppadoms home.
Yeah, you're taking the poppadoms home, but you're not eating them. You've had a starter to share with people. So let's face it, you've had like, you know, one or two little fully loaded chips. Mm-hmm. You've had your pasta. Mm. You've had a little side of olive oil. And you were going to pass on the drink, but eventually decided that you would have kombucha. So we've got plenty of room here for this dessert.
Well, that's why, you know, I've been so wise thus far.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'd be like, I can't possibly have dessert after all this madness. So now I can have my big slab of chocolate cake with ice cream.
Lovely. Yeah, and you look so happy as well.
Yeah, so pleased.
You look so happy saying a big slab of chocolate cake with ice cream. Really happy with that.
Lots of icing, vanilla ice cream to go very well with the chocolate. My boyfriend the other day made a chocolate cake out of courgette somehow. It was the most moist, delicious thing I've ever eaten. Yeah. It wasn't like mainly courgettes, but there were courgettes in it. It was just amazing. And that's what I want for my dessert.
Do you want your boyfriend's courgette carrot cake? Not carrot cake, sorry.
Courgette. No, forget carrots.
Sorry. I tell you what was in my mind, though, that people get weird about things like courgette cakes. They're like, oh, why are you putting courgette in cake? But these are people who eat carrot cake without worrying about it. It's the same thing.
Hypocrites.
At the minute, Simon, maybe you can empathise with this. Ed is gearing up to go on tour and tour a comedy show. So any territory where his mind goes, this could be a routine, he starts thinking in comedy routine. So immediately there, he heard courgette cake. Oh, people don't like that. But then again, people eat carrot cake. So what's the matter with them? And then he started thinking in a comedy routine,
James,
and then got himself confused and said courgette carrot cake.
How bad a comedian do you think I am? That I, at any point, would consider doing a routine where I say, oh, courgette cake, people are weird about that. What about carrot cake, guys? Guys?
I mean, I've considered worse things on the lead-up to writing comedy shows. I'm not saying it was going to make the final cut.
No, I might try it, actually.
I went on Bake Off Extra Slice when they were doing Vegan Week, and the audience all bring in cakes that they've made. And I'll be honest with you, Simon, when I was on my way there, I thought, well, I've really drawn the short straw here, because I was going to try everyone's vegan cakes. This is going to be so disappointing. They were delicious. And I think there's so much of an emphasis on, you know, oh, they're not moist enough vegan cakes, that people have really cracked it now. And if anything, they're the most moist, like sumptuous cakes. They were great. I couldn't stop eating all of them. Like, and I got given quite a lot. And also, because everyone just hangs out afterwards who has made the cakes, they really want you to try theirs as well. And I was just sitting there. Nick Hewer had already gone home, but I was eating all of them.
That's great. Yeah. I think also we've advanced to the point where I walked past a donut shop yesterday that happened to be a vegan donut shop.
Wow.
It was called Donut Time or something in the middle of Soho, and it just like happened to have, I don't know, it was like 80% vegan donuts, and they weren't even telling people.
Yeah. Did you get a donut from there? Because I love Donut Time.
My boyfriend got a jam donut, and he thought it was bloody delicious.
It's so good. I mean, I used to live literally opposite a Donut Time, and I lived there for 3 years, I think, and I only went to the donut time in my final week of living there because I knew that if I went there early doors, that was it.
All bets are off.
That's good.
Because they're extravagant donuts. They're huge and they've got entire chocolate bars sticking out of them and stuff.
Yeah.
I was talking to Ed the other day about how I've never been to Cinnabon because I know that if I had a Cinnabon, I would want to go to Cinnabon all the time. And so I've never been there.
I don't know about Cinnabon.
It looks amazing. It's a Ed's had them. So he'll tell you.
Big, like, cinnamon bun, basically, but they cover it in, like, icing. It's crazy. They're like, I think, like, one of them is, like, 1,000 calories or something.
Right, that's too many calories.
There's too many calories for one thing, Simon. So, I mean, I can't have them very regularly, obviously.
Do you think the sweet stuff that we're drawn to is because we miss our mother's breast milk, isn't it?
No, don't ruin it, Simon.
Maybe this will help.
Yeah, maybe this will stop James eating ice cream now.
Yeah, stop drinking a kombucha as well now.
I think that's what's going on there. There's something very so comforting. We feel so safe. We feel so taken care of when we're eating a bowl of ice cream. We feel like nothing else matters. And that must be how we felt when we were being breastfed.
But some people aren't breastfed, though, right?
Well, even with the bottle, whatever it is, I'm, you know, bottle fed. It's basically like, here, this is all you need, just this sweet, sweet milk.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, we can't have that now because that would be strange. It's, you know, it's odd enough that mum's bringing over all this kombucha. What's she trying to do? but what we can do is we can, you know, find our own sweet things. But too much. And nature says, come on now. Yeah. You're an adult.
Get you off the teat.
Yeah. I prefer savoury stuff. So what's going on there?
Yeah.
You were breastfed enough.
Yeah. I had loads.
There was never a point where it was withheld or you were crying and not picked up. Yeah, you had a good childhood. You should thank your mum. Next time you see your mum, give her a big hug.
Today.
She's genuinely in my sitting room now.
Yeah. Ed asked you earlier, but I interrupted it. Asked if you would like your boyfriend's courgette cake as your chocolate cake dessert.
Yeah, it was really good. It might be the best chocolate cake I've ever had. So, actually, there was one another time that was so good I had to sit down. Mm. I was stood up.
Why were you stood up anyway?
I was in my, somebody brought it to my kitchen. Where was it from? It was from a restaurant near where she was doing something that day. And then she brought this cake and I was standing up in the kitchen. I tried a bit and it was like so intensely, I guess it was dark. It was like a dark chocolate cake with a crunchy base. I had to sit down. It was so good.
Wow.
I remember that being a good one. But you have to be careful with this stuff, you know, anything that's like that intense. I remember when I was less good at realizing that the fulfillment of stand-up comedy came from the performance itself. I would, after a show, maybe you'll relate to this, going on tour yourselves, need either a chocolate cake or somebody to have sex with. Yes. And I ended up having a lot of chocolate cake. So, yeah, you have to really... It's actually good to, like you know, if you're present... And you eat the chocolate cake and know that you're eating it and you're there for it. You know, you're like really appreciative of it. Mm-hmm. I feel there's no problem there. The problem comes when you sort of didn't even know you were eating it and then you need another one. That's when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, same goes for the other as well.
Sex?
The sex. Yes. Oh, yeah, you have to be there for the sex. I mean, it's difficult not to be there for the sex. So it does that to you, doesn't it? The sex, unless you're with the wrong person, perhaps.
It calls to you. I just love the idea of you finishing a show, Simon, and in the back, like just running through the last routine, and in the back of your mind, just going, "Which one is it going to be this evening?
Which one tonight?"
Oh dear. Yeah, that won't happen this time. This time I'll just be fully enjoying being on stage. Yeah.
And now you have a boyfriend who can make chocolate cake. I mean, this is absolutely...
you're right.
Completely landed on your feet here.
Oh, my God, you're right. Oh, what a life. I don't even need to do the tour.
Well, I'm going to read your menu back to you now.
Okay.
See how you feel about it. So... For water, you wanted still water. Poppadoms are bread. You want poppadoms to take home, but you don't want to eat them right now. For your starter, you would like the nachos with the nut cheese on it to share with everyone, which comes from...
Manna, M-A-N-N-A. Now closed.
Your main course, you would like the grilled aubergine, spinach, pine nut, walnut pasta recipe earlier in the podcast. If anyone wants to make it, I'm going to make it tonight. Side dish, just a cup of olive oil.
We should have absolutely torn you apart for this menu, Simon. It really speaks to how sort of charming and gracious you are as a guest that we've not absolutely obliterated you for this.
Here's the thing. We would normally obliterate someone for this, Simon. Don't get us wrong. We would normally obliterate people. But what I've genuinely, found throughout this podcast is that you seem so just content and genuinely happy that I'm like, well, what am I really angry about here? Clearly this is about me. Simon's got his life sorted, but I'm there. I'm drinking booze. I'm eating meat. I'm anxious all the time. Why am I thinking that Simon's wrong? Actually, I think what me and Ed think is wrong. And actually, you should just have a cup of olive oil as a side. That's genuinely been my experience during this podcast, has been to question everything about my life and what I do in a good way, even though I know I will not change.
Oh, okay. It was going so well until that last sentence.
That's it.
Even though I know I will not change. You should be a preacher. That's really funny.
You would like homemade pure kombucha as your drink. Mm. And for dessert, you would like your boyfriend's courgette chocolate cake with a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah. And what happens now? Do I just sort of think about that for another? Do I eat that some other? Does it get delivered to me? What happens?
Normally, Simon, then, like, you know, it's from sort of restaurants and stuff, and you know, people will go to those restaurants or whatever. We wouldn't deliver you the meal, but the menu you've picked, you could feasibly just go and have right now.
Yeah.
Yes, except that I had a lot of falafel during the technical difficulties.
Yes.
Sure.
We've perhaps not illustrated quite how bad the technical difficulties were, but. Took us about an hour to get up and running.
Usually, normally the guests thanks us for, you know, says,
sorry. hang on. Hey guys, thank you so much for having me and asking me what my menu would be or is. And I can't wait to, I'll listen to the podcast, I'll write down what I said, and then I'll make it.
Then you can make it. Exactly. Finally, there's a.
Write down all the tips.
There's a recorded history of how to make that dish now.
I'm so glad this was a conversation that was recorded. Imagine if we just got together and said all this. I mean, it would just be absurd. I mean, it really would be absurd if we did that.
Simon Amstel, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you, Simon.
Well, there we are.
Woohoo!
Thank you very much to Simon for coming in. I loved that episode, James. It's the most drugs chat we've ever had.
It was enlightening. I loved talking to Simon. I could chat to him for hours, which we did actually, because there were so many technical difficulties.
Yeah.
We kept on going in and out and having loads of chats with him that couldn't make the edit because they didn't get recorded or we lost them in the ether of the internet. But what a wonderful person to chat to. Loved chatting to him. Glad that he didn't say Chris. He didn't say the secret ingredient, so we didn't have to chuck him out.
That was lucky. Really like Simon. I think he was a really good company, very patient with all our technical difficulties.
Yes.
But let's not beat around the bush. Mm-hmm. Shit menu.
Well, yes, because we're recording this outro a few days after we recorded the episode, and I can confirm that I was so excited by his dream main that I made it myself, and you know, it was fine.
I was surprised you were so excited by it and that you couldn't wait to cook it.
It sounded delicious the way he described it. And I think I got more excited by the fact that I knew I could cook it.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think it was the accessibility of the ingredients. And you were like, I could go now and get all those ingredients and cook it tonight.
Yes. And grilling the nuts up, that was exciting. I was looking forward to doing that and getting some crispy nuts and some pasta.
I laughed at that. I laughed at you saying grilling the nuts up. Sure.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. You're allowed to laugh at it. Although, I think that grilling the nuts up is a catchphrase from our Roasty Toasty podcast.
Yeah, please stop crossing the streams.
We're getting confused now. Keep it roasty, keep it toasty. All our fans, we love you the mosty. That's what we say on Roasty Toasty podcast.
This podcast is Bready Cheddy, Ready for Betty.
Bready Cheddy and Ready for Betty. The best thing I've ever said on this podcast, the best joke I've ever made.
Mm. I think your memory might be playing tricks on you there, James.
Everyone knows that's my number one joke. That's my catchphrase, Ready Cheddy and Ready for Betty.
Yeah.
I'm a genius, comedy genius, I thought of that.
Speaking of comedy genii, Simon Amstel is on tour. Go to simonamstel.com to buy tickets for his tour.
Wow.
Spirit Hole. But he's not the only one on tour, James. Ed Gamble's on tour as well, me. Go and see my show, Gamble. Electric. Edgamble.co.uk for tickets.
Starts in
February 2022.
And edgamble.com We're still a mystery.
You could just go on it and have a look.
Not me. The listeners have to crack the case.
Right, okay. Crack the cress.
Crack the cress, everybody.
And if someone wants to make up like a sort of, like me and James to look like an egg and cress, but also sort of film noir detectives with the catchphrase crack the cress underneath, that would be mighty appreciated. Well, James, thank you very much. In terms of intros and outros, that was...
pretty efficient.
Pretty efficient. Okay, yeah, sure. Pretty efficient. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello, I'm Lou Sanders, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, you might like my podcast, Cuddle Club. It's about cuddling, yes, but really it's just a way into relationships and asking cheeky questions like who was your mum's favourite and when were you last unfaithful? Previous guests include Alan Davies, Ashling B, Catherine Ryan, Rich Dosman, Ed Gamble, Nish Kumar and other legends. Get it on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your all podcasts. And remember to CC everybody in if CC stands for Cuddle Club.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.